tonight in Romans chapter 4. Will you read with me from verse 18? And the context, the reference is Abraham, and it's about believing God. It's about walking by faith, and that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about the life of faith. In Romans 4, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I do not believe that he's saying there that Abraham was strong in faith, running around hollering hallelujah, glory to God. He gave glory to God by being strong in faith. That's the emphasis. Strong in faith, giving glory to God. When you are strong in faith, you give glory to God. If you believe God, if you believe what he said, then you're glorifying the Lord. If you do not believe what he said, you're dishonoring the Lord. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it, this belief, this faith, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, the life of faith, I want to talk to you about the life of faith. I do not believe that there is a tremendous amount of people living by faith today. I do not believe there's a lot of faith preachers today. I believe there's a lot of grace preachers, but I don't believe there's a lot of faith preachers. I believe preachers, as a rule today, whether they are grace or whether they're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, I believe they operate on the basis of being able to manipulate people or their own efforts, being able to supply their needs and whatever. Faith is something else again. Faith preachers. Here's my reasoning behind this. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we believe that. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. We believe that. In other words, we believe in Christ, who we've never seen, we've never touched him, felt him, or whatever, but we believe in Christ in order that we can have something that we're not absolutely positive is out there except by faith. We believe in Christ to escape damnation in hell. We believe that. But you know what? Nobody can see that kind of thing in you. Oh, they can hear you say, I believe the gospel. They can hear you say, I'm saved by the grace of God. On and on. But people do not believe 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound every good work in the Lord. Why do people not exercise their faith in that passage? Because others can see it. Nobody can see whether you believe in going to heaven or to hell. They can hear what you got to say about it, but they can see your faith. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, they can see your faith. In Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I say there are very few faith preachers today, and that bothers me. That disturbs me. Why does it disturb me? Listen, how can I convince you that I believe the gospel of Christ? How can I convince you that I believe this Bible when I do not abide by the things that God said in this Bible by supplying my own? We walk by faith, not by sight. There are not a lot of trusters today. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I am a firm believer that if you need a job, God Almighty will give you grace and favor with somebody to get you a job. I believe that. But that isn't all. I believe that if you trust God with all your heart, God Almighty will get you a job, and God Almighty will fix it so you can study your Bible, you can serve the Lord while doing that job. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe God will take care of you on that job. It'll work. Trust the Lord. Not many people really believe. Faith. Now, what is this faith we're talking about? This faith we're talking about is a leap into the dark. This faith we're talking about is Abraham, who is nearly 100 years old, believes that he's going to beget a child for a woman that is 90 years old. He considered not Sarah's womb dead when she was 90. God said it, he believed it, and that settled it. Now, beloved, that's faith. That's believing God. And the very fact that they believed, it became to pass. It came to pass. I believe that Mary is that type of person. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Mary and said, "Fear not. You're going to conceive and bear a child. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David," on and on and on. And she believed. If Mary would not have believed, of course the angel wouldn't have gone to her in the first place. If Mary would not have believed, she would not have borne the Lord Jesus Christ. She would not have been chosen by the Lord. If you will not believe, then you'll not be chosen for the job that you could have had. You've got to surrender. You've got to believe the Lord. You've got to turn the thing over to the Lord. Quit being afraid. Quit fretting and just believe God. What is this faith? This faith is hanging yourself by your faith over hell and believing in a Savior that you never saw, touched, or felt, believing in a cross, a crucifixion that you never saw, you never heard it, but you believe it, and trusting that that Savior died for your sins at Calvary, was buried and rose again, and that by your faith in that, God Almighty has honored you with salvation. Even though you see yourself as bad, even though you see yourself as troubled on every side, opposition everywhere, you believe that Christ died for you, and you believe that by your faith in Christ's death at Calvary, you're a child of God, even though you don't feel like one. You wouldn't be what people say look like one, but you believe you are because of your faith in Christ. You hang by a thread over eternal damnation, and that thread is called faith. You're unafraid. You go about and do your job every day because you believe. Well, faith in life is the same way. Who knows what tomorrow may bring? Suppose you had been in the pathway of all those tornadoes that went through yesterday and the day before. See? You don't know what tomorrow is going to be. You don't know what's going to happen when we leave here today. You get on your vehicle and go out on that highway. Who knows? My wife and I travel about 1,000 miles every week. We haven't the foggiest idea what's going to be out there. But you know what? We don't dwell on that. It hasn't really ever crossed my mind that there might be an accident out there. I don't think about those things. I'm thinking about what we're doing out there. I'm thinking about why we're going out there. What are we going for? We're not going to have a good time. We don't go riding along singing on the road again. Turn in your Bible, please, to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. In fact, I want you to get several passages. I want you to get Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, very quickly, one verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance there is, according to the dictionary, is something existing by itself, that which really exists. In other words, faith is something. Faith is not just a mist. Faith is something that exists. It's like material. In other words, to you it is material. Faith is something that exists. It's substance. It is the evidence of things not seen. The word evidence there, according to the dictionary, is that which enables the mind to see truth. It's proof arising from the testimony of others, or from the instructions, or reasoning on and on. Okay, faith then is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, it's our ability to see as if it were right there that which we hope for. And it is the evidence, something that we receive by the Word of God, it is the evidence of those things not seen. In other words, our faith enables us to see the things that are unseen. By faith, I see Christ sitting on the throne. By faith, I see God on the throne. By faith, I see the temple in heaven. By on and on I go, see. Faith is the substance. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. That's the way it is, folks. According to your faith, be it unto you. Now, we're not talking about you believing that something's going to be, and then it come to pass because you believed it. Oh, no, no, no. The evidence, faith is the evidence, has to do with a testimony. In other words, the Word of God says it. And we believe that which is written in the Word of God, you see. According to your faith in the Word of God, so be it. Whatever God Almighty said to you in Romans through Philemon, you believe it, it'll come to pass. You want to be healed? If God Almighty told you in Romans through Philemon that he'd heal you, then you can claim it and be healed. Oh, yes. You know something, folks, if I were involved in healing, if I was going to believe to be healed, and I was stretched out down there, paralyzed, or whatever, I would sit up. If I was going to believe, I'd sit up. If I couldn't sit up, I would move my legs and my arms. If I believed, I'd do something. You do what you believe in. When you believe, you do. You believe that food will satisfy. And you move to the table and you sit down and you eat. You believe that the car will start. You turn the key, the starter begins to turn, the car fires off, on and on. Faith moves you. Everything you do is operational faith. Turn, please, to Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said unto him, If thou believest, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Everything that God Almighty told you that can be, will be if you'll believe. We walk by faith, not by sight. Believe God. We start by believing the gospel. Christ died for my sins. He became my sin that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Just as sure as Jesus Christ died for my sins at Calvary, I am the righteousness of God right now. Say, you don't look righteous to me. I can't help that. I am the righteousness of God right now. As sure as Christ died, I am righteous right now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I believe, and that settles it. I am righteous. Say, why, you low down sinful rascal, you. I'm righteous by faith. That never gets away from me. Every day I walk believing that I'm the righteous son of the holy and righteous God. I believe that God Almighty is God, and beside him there is no God, and he is my Father. And in Christ Jesus, which is by faith, I'm equal to Almighty God, and there is no blessing withheld from me. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They're mine by faith. According to your faith, so be it. What do you believe? Now, there are four or five things that I want to refer to pertaining to living by faith. Number one, the obedience of faith. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 16. The obedience of faith brings salvation. Verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith brings salvation. In Acts 16, verse 31, Paul said to the Philippian jailer, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. By submission, obedience, by submission to faith, salvation is mine. I submitted my ears. I don't resist the truth. All right, you hear the truth. Watch that. Christ died for your sins. If you are obedient to that, if your ears are tuned into that, then you can see with your spiritual eyes. You can see with your eyes of understanding Calvary. If you're tuned in, Christ died for our sins. If you're tuned into that, if your ears are tuned to that, then you see by faith Christ going to Calvary with the cross. You see him stumbling and falling and another individual taking the cross. You see them getting to the cross, the place of Calvary rather. You see them nailing the thieves to the cross. You see them nail Christ's hands to the cross. Do you see his hand laying out there? Can you in your mind's eye picture Jesus Christ's hand on that cross as they drive that spike in it? His feet are laid out there, and they put the spikes in his feet, and he opened not his mouth. Can you see them as they lift that cross, and they drop it in that hole, and his arms begin to stretch, and his bones begin to pull out of joint? Can you see him as he hangs there with a crown of thorns on his brow, and the blood running down into his eyes, and the salt in the blood begins to burn his eyes, and it runs down into his mouth? His beard has been plucked out. He's been hitting in the mouth with a man's fist, and his lips are all puffed up, and he swallows the blood, and he gets sick to his stomach. Can you see him as he hangs there with the stripes across his back and the blood running down? Can you see that in your mind? By faith we see the cross, the obedience of faith. We do not resist that. We do not draw back from that. We do not shut our ears to that and say, I don't want to hear that. We're obedient. Obedience to the faith brings salvation. Jesus Christ, by his own free will, Jesus Christ, by his belief in God the Father, by his faith in God the Father, went to Calvary and took your sins and died for your sins at Calvary. The obedience of faith brings salvation. The life of faith brings a contented heart. Turn, please, to Galatians chapter 2. You can quote the verse, but would you let's read it? Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, you must think about that a moment. The individual that you're looking at right now is standing here alive, nevertheless I'm crucified. We see I'm crucified by faith. You see, if we ever get that, if we ever get it in our heart and our eyes, that I can look upon you, I can look upon Brother Har there, and I see an 85-year-old man, by the way, Brother Har's birthday was this past Thursday, and he was 85. That man sitting right there is crucified. He's crucified with Christ. I'm looking at crucified people, but I see them living a life of flesh. You're in a fleshly body right now. I am crucified by faith. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Wow. Isn't that something when you come to realize that that life in the flesh is not really life at all? It's a life of death. It's a life of pain and misery and heartache and headaches and tears, a veil. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Why, folks, you've never really known life in this old flesh. You've just known death. You've never really seen life in this old flesh. You've just seen death. How's that? Come on, folks. You see a baby come into this world and it begins to age immediately. It comes forth like a flower and is cut down, Job 14 says. Look at you. You got wrinkles on your faces. Your hair is turning gray and coming out and on. You're dying. I'm looking at dying people. Don't you understand that? Till I'm alive. No, 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 no. You're dying. Life is when you are changed and made like unto the glorious Son of God. Life is in resurrection. Life is when there is no more of those things. There's no more temptation. There's no more sin. There's no more sorrow. No more pain. No more tears. That's life. We're just dying, folks. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm alive before you today because Christ died for my sins. For I was dead in trespasses and sin. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We now live, that we may live unto Christ. But you know what? Contentment comes when you get that squared away in your mind. You see, you begin to look at everything in the light of 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice in verse 16, I'm going to cut in the middle of everything, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction. Boy, to hear us tell it, we'd never call it light, would we? Most terrible thing that ever happened to anybody. Our light affliction, which seems like an eternity, is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, I'm looking at temporal people right now. I'm looking at people that one day I'll not see anymore. I'll see the real you. I'll see the image of Christ. Maybe a clone, I don't know. But we won't have to face one another in these old bodies anymore. You see, we don't, folks, we get too serious about this thing. Life is just a moment. Why do we not have any contentment? Because we believe in our hearts that we can keep on living. That's right. You're not ready. Say, but I'm saved. Yeah, but you're not prepared. Say, I am too. Are you? Are you sure you are? Then what do you got to worry about right now? Is there anything at all troubling you right now? And if there is, then why is it? Look in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Therefore, we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor on and on. In other words, then, we're content to be here, knowing that when the Lord wants us, He'll take us away. But we're content to leave. We groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our bodies. We're tired of these old bodies. We're tired of the headache. We're tired of the heartache. We're tired of the sorrows. And yet, we're willing to stay because we have labor to do. Wherefore we labor, he said. The life of faith. Obedience of faith brings salvation. The life of faith brings contentment in this miserable state. And then the walk of faith brings rewards. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. In other words, either way God wants us is all right with us. Verse 9, wherefore we labor. That's our present walk. That whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that it's done, whether it be good or bad. In other words, then, we labor in this life. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving Him the glory thereby. So we labor in this life, knowing that one day we're going to be absent from our body, present with the Lord, at the judgment seat of Christ. And knowing that our works are going to be tried at the judgment seat of Christ. We walk by faith, knowing that we're absent from the body as long as we're in this, the Lord, as long as we're in this body, but willing to be present with the Lord, and we labor while we're here, because we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account to God for the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad. Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3. Notice in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. In other words, you do good, you get rewarded for it. You receive based upon the good you do. Now go to Colossians 3. In Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he's done. And there's no respect of persons. You see? If your works are wrong, you'll receive according to your works. We're not talking about your sins now. Your sins are paid for at Calvary. Now you understand. Now think just a moment. Let's just say that, okay, here we are. We're Bible-believing saints of God. Our sins are paid for at Calvary. But let's assume that there is an individual that comes in here, and that individual trusts Christ, their Lord and Savior. They really believe in Christ. Okay, all the sins are paid for, past, present, future. They're all paid for. They're all forgiven. But that individual, we'll say it's a woman, and that individual falls head over heels in love with a man. He gives her a real con job, and he goes to bed with her. The sin is paid for. But she gets pregnant. Now what's she going to do? The works are manifest. There isn't anything she can do. She cannot. It's laid on the foundation, and it'll be brought to the front and tried at the judgment seat of Christ. And you'll receive for the wrong that you've done. The obedience of faith brings salvation. The life of faith brings contentment. The walk of faith brings rewards. And the prayer of faith brings peace. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 8. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You know, he said, pray without ceasing. Well, if you don't know what to pray for and you're going to pray without ceasing, then how are you going to pray? By faith. We know not what to pray for as we ought. Pray without ceasing. Pray about everything. And how are we going to do it? Prayer of faith. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he that searcheth the hearts maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Come to verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather it is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What's he saying to me? He's saying to me that I just pray. I don't know what to pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to pray for. I don't know whether the thing that's happening to me is based upon a result of something that I did wrong, or if it's something that God is using to bring about a reward or whatever. I don't know what it's about. But I know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So what do? I just pray, and sometimes I just groan. Why? I do it in faith, knowing that I've got one at the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding. He's praying for me. He knows my heart. He reads my heart. He searches my heart and knows exactly not only what I want, but what I need. And so he intercedes at the right hand of the Father. So what I got to worry about? I don't have to worry about it. I pray the prayer of faith. I pray by faith, knowing that I can't go wrong in prayer. As long as it's by faith in the Word of God. Now, I have no business telling Al over here that I've got the power to heal him and on and on. Now, I can pray for Al to be healed. You see, I can mention his name to the Lord. But there's one at the right hand that is talking about you. There's one at the right hand of the Father that is reminding the Father that you're his. You're redeemed by his blood. and he's blessing you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ain't nothing can go wrong, folks. You ain't got nothing to worry about. Of course, some people worry because they ain't got nothing to worry about. So pray about it. Pray about everything. Pray everywhere. Prayer, faith. It brings peace. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, how in the world can this be anyhow? How in the world, if I don't, number one, know what to pray for, and number two, if I'm praying, it don't look to me like it's happening, what I'm asking for, well, how can I possibly have peace in my heart? Because I'm praying by faith. Because I've got an intercessor beside God that knows my heart, and he's praying a prayer before God that God can hear. So what does it all say to me then? Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. And be thankful for anything. Isn't that where our misery starts? Isn't that why we're miserable? We're not satisfied with what we've got. We're not thankful for anything. We want to be like they are. We want to be better than they are. Everything is based on status quo. I'm jealous this morning. I saw a man drive up out there on a beautiful pickup truck with a king cab. My little old Toyota has no king cab. I'm jealous. I and my wife drive a 9-year-old car with 170,000 miles on it that you have to shift gears 5 times when you go forward. And I saw somebody pull up out there on a Lincoln Continental Town Car. What's the status quo, folks? We're not thankful for anything. We see something and we want that because it's there and because they've got it. And we just want it. Give me this. Oh, God, I've got to have this. Lord, would you please make this be? Oh, God, help me. I can't live like this, Lord. Well, you've lived up to now like that. What makes you think you aren't going to go on living like this? You manage. You know why? Because you believe in God. You believe in the Lord. And you trust that the Lord is interceding for you. And therefore, you've got nothing to worry about. You got a need. Jesus Christ is telling the Father, a child that I redeemed down there's got a need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work in the Lord. You ain't got nothing to worry about. So stop doing it. And every time you start crying and weeping and mourning, start saying, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. My God, I thank you. Start talking to the Lord, praying to him and thanking him and praising his name. Obedience of faith brings salvation. The life of faith brings contentment. The walk of faith rewards. Prayer of faith brings peace. And the fight of faith brings victory. Turn please to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Notice in verse 12. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. whereunto thou art also called. Now, I know he's not saying that if you fight the good fight of faith, you're going to have eternal life. He's saying, in effect, you already got eternal life. Lay hold on it by fighting that which is of the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Fighting the good fight of faith is departing from iniquity. It's doing that which is right. It's standing up for the right. It's standing up for the faith you believe in. Fight the good fight of faith. And quit listening to the philosophies of the world and the imaginations of your own heart and mind. Fight the good fight of faith. Rise yourself. Get a stronghold on your old flesh. Get a stronghold on your mind. Get a stronghold on that old person that you are. An arm lock. And make yourself inoperative. Fight. You believe something, don't you? Well, there's a side to you that doesn't. There's a side to you that is going to try to show the other side of you that that's foolishness. So you've got to fight on your hands. Fight the good. Lay hold on eternal. You've got eternal life. Then live as an individual that has eternal life. The foundation of God is that which you stand, on which you stand. The foundation of God standeth sure. It's never going to fail. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Well, then the Lord knows who you are. The Lord knows you're redeemed. The Lord knows you belong to him. He'll never say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You ought to have eternal life. Lay hold on that life in the eyes of individuals around you. The life of faith is a fascinating life. Now, you know something? There's one thing you need. It's called an armor. Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand. Having done all, stand. How you do this? Having on the helmet of salvation. The breastplate of righteousness. That's Christ's righteousness. Quit bragging about yourself and brag on Christ. The girdle of truth, that's the strength. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Having the shield of faith by which you'll quench the fire darts of the wicked. And taking the sword of the Spirit and get in the battle. And your first enemy is going to be that tent in which you're walking around in. Paul said, I'm crucified daily. The life of faith. It's interesting that you'll stand.